3 months of regular contact helps you grow trust and familiarity. And then 6 deep connections.
What's a deep connection? Like you almost kiss?
That feels very limiting. Only 6 friends that you kiss on a regular basis.
Yeah, because I try to, sometimes I'm like listening to somebody talk and they sound smart. I'm like, what do their lips feel like? Are you guys listening? I think we're podcasting.
We are podcasting.
Jen just signed up for an app that's $15 a week, and I almost swallowed my tongue.
No, if I don't cancel this, I'm going to put a reminder in my phone. I know. Please, you did.
I did. Okay, so that you can get out of it.
Because it came up on Facebook or Instagram or one of those. I got sucked into it.
I've been influenced. I have terrible eyeliner because I've been influenced.
Just so you know, I'm going to make everybody play friend games and romance games for the next 3 days while I've got it for free.
It's like the game of Twister or something.
Well, it's funny because when I read the here are some things would be fun for you to know about your spouse, I was like,
I don't care.
I'm going to ask Kristen these.
Yeah, ask me instead. I'm like, I know too much. That's my problem. Is I be more mysterious.
You want to talk about our queen?
Yes. It's a little dated. I think we were both just really sad and kind of watching and feeling icky, but we feel so bad and sad, and we know everybody else does too, about Catherine O'Hara passing away. And she's such an icon.
Too young.
She was sick in the end. It sucks. But I just saw this thing where Eugene Levy, they were friends for 50 years. Her friendships have these incredible years behind them. They end up working together on Schitt's Creek and then with Dan Levy, the son, it's just so cool. And
she was like his godmother or something. Yeah. Too, right.
And everybody that met her said she just took you under her wing. Like she was a mentor. And a fan sent Eugene Levy a picture of her seeing John Candy in heaven. And, they were all such fast friends and such good friends. And I just thought that was like really poetic, and we'll all miss her. But like, I know Eleanor is inspired by Catherine O'Hara. There's like this thing with these youngins that see her and they're like, she's the goal. She's the queen. And God, please let all of our girls look at these funny women that are outward and cool and gorgeous and funny. And
I remember
seeing
her in Beetlejuice, and I was like, I not only do I want to dress like that character, I love that she is
that character.
Maybe. I would go around my house saying, I will go inside and I will take you with me. All over my house.
I like how her eyes kind of go, like the more mad she gets, the more crossed her eyes go. And I'm like, I've been there.
She's such a legend.
Yeah. We wanted to just say we'll miss you and we love you and rest in peace. And just everybody stay funny for her.
Yeah. And I love that they were friends for that long. I didn't know that.
For a really long time. They did Second City together. Yeah. She comes from a long lineage of funny people. Her and John Candy were really close. She gave his eulogy. Yeah.
That cohort. Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about
friendship
today because Delilah is 10. She's going to be 11. And like
fifth grade,
you guys. I don't think kids at this age understand how to be friends. I really think they do very early on. But like, I think when you're like, you're just playing side by side somebody until you're like,
I think when you're not discerning, because you go to preschool and you're like, you seem fine. But then later you're like, if I get the choice, I'm not hanging out with him because he eats his boogers. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But for a while you're like at the sand lot going like, fine, whatever. And really when their kids are toddlers, they just play next to each other.
Yes.
They don't play with each other.
Side
and then
side,
elementary,
yeah.
You're literally just like, everybody is a friend.
Yeah.
And you just kind of run in circles. But then fifth grade, you start making choices about
friends.
You
know what they want? This is what I think. I think they want a best friend.
Always. That's
the goal. They want that one like exclusive friend that they can like call their best friend.
Yes.
And I really feel like Delilah's just working the room to see like who's going to like reciprocate.
I totally agree with that. I think Eleanor's in this kind of the same boat. She's got a lot of friends, but I think she's looking for that love match.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell your kids that like sometimes that doesn't happen until like you're a little bit older when you kind of know who you are. Because How can that love match be a love match if you're sort of always bobbing and weaving and changing?
Totally.
They're bobbing and weaving and changing.
And I sort of feel like at this age, there's all these like shifts and dynamics and things like that where it's like there's this friend group and then one leaves and joins this.
Oh, the friend group. That's the new word. Friend group.
Is it?
That's the thing.
That's a thing? Okay.
You don't even know. Like, that's a word that's now in our vernacular that I don't think we ever used.
Never.
No, it's the friend group is the conversation. It especially okay. around sixth grade.
Okay.
Friend groups.
We're dealing with it hard because, like, last week, Delilah had a Don Quixote project that was due, and she missed school because she was sick. So when she gets there the next day, like, everybody's got their project group.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she is through the roof when I pick her up because her friend group, the ones that she always hangs around with.
They moved on without her.
They moved on without her.
Because they have no loyalty.
And they made the group too big already. There was 11 kids going over to one house to do
a, well, that doesn't seem right.
I know. I was a little bit like, well, what's
that would make
more?
Me feel left out too. I vote for Delilah's side.
Well, okay. So that I guess that was the second thing that happened. Because they did say, I was like, look, I don't want 11 kids over at my house. I'm
11,
trying to get
you
rid
of have
a few
somebody that's doing the
over.
Writing and somebody that's yeah. making the paper mache.
Yeah.
11, you've got a lot of loose ends, man.
That's too many kids.
I'm putting kids on dishes if they're at my
that's
house.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't want that many kids coming over to my house to do a project. It's not going to happen. It's going to dissolve into chaos.
Also, if you're me, you're like, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing the work of 11 people and they get to go have fun. Absolutely not.
So then she gets into... She I feel like wedged herself sideways into another group because she's like, text her mom and tell her I'm coming over. And I was like, oh, just do that. Just text this mom and be like, hey, guess what?
Delilah's part of your group
now.
I'm like,
Yeah. And the mom was not, might I say, cool about it. She was like, oh, okay. I didn't know
12.
She was in the group. Let me start a new text chain and I'll add you in. And like,
okay. I've got a lot of notes for a lot of these things.
I do too. I was like, well,
be cool.
No wonder we don't all know how to do this because some of us grow up never fully figuring out how to be cool about shit. Am I going to regret saying that?
My stomach's starting to hurt right now because I'm thinking of all the times that people could have just been cool. And like, what does it matter? But also 12 in a group, again, that's who's on the paper mache? You only need one.
So this other group was 4. She was the 5th then. And
okay.
I was like ready to go to the mats because I'm like, look, it's a group project. She needs a group. Deal with it. I'd let your kid in her group.
Yeah. You know, also, like, where's the teacher in all this?
Oh, that notes. Teacher is dealing
You're
with.
You're thinking the same thing. I just caught her eyes going, yep, that's right. I was like, where's the teacher? These are two bigger groups. It's my first. I'm mad at management.
Well, I think this teacher's dealing with a lot. Let me tell you why. This classroom is majority girls. Like, that's just how this swing went. Like, this group. Like,
yeah, she's out back smoking a cigarette. She's like, bitches be crazy.
Yeah, and she's got, like, a 3-year-old, too. I'm like, I don't know how you have the patience for any of this. But so she's like, I went on a field trip 2 weeks ago, and the day before, Delilah, again, completely distraught because these girls... she left out so much of the story, which you always find out is the case.
Oh,
you got to dig deeper when these girls tell you, here's what happened. Everyone's mean to me. And this is what, there is a part B, C, D to this story.
Dewey school of thought. He's like, there's her story. There's his story. And the truth is somewhere down the middle.
Yeah. Well,
which I hate because now that's how I think about everything.
I know.
Can somebody just be on my side?
Yeah. Somebody just say I'm right.
Somebody say I'm right. Even if I'm being a bit of a bitch. Like, well, I just need to be right for a minute.
That's what this one wanted. She was like, I know this because she was like, as she's telling me the story, she goes, you don't listen to me. And I go, what do you mean I don't listen to you? She goes, I want you to stop talking and hear what I have to say and let me finish what it is I have to say. And I go, and then you want me to tell you that you're right? She goes, yeah. I go, not going to happen. I understand that. That's like... Daddy, you get this from Daddy. I'm not doing that. Like, yeah. I will listen to you and I will see, like, I will say, I'm sorry, baby. I know that must feel bad. But also, I'm going to bring logic to the situation because I have to legally.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I also feel whenever kids talk in absolutes, you know there's bullshit behind
For sure.
it. Like, whenever they're like, I didn't do anything, you're like,
yeah.
Come on.
There's
more to the story.
Yeah.
If you would come in and you're like, okay, I think I can be honest. I've probably not been as nice as I could, but she did this. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm going to believe her.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I like don't even know how this came about because like I literally did nothing. I'm like,
That means you literally did a lot.
Yeah.
Well, she's upset from the time I pick her up through dinner. Would not talk to me because I was not quote unquote listening to her by the end of the evening. But her deal was that all of her best friends, so these four or five girls, got to do this special project thing for the teacher. And I was like, well, you have gotten to do special project things that they didn't get to be a part of. So like, that's kind of the way life works. Like, that's fair.
Yeah.
She's not listening to that. She's like, that's some bullshit.
She's like, I don't enjoy your response. Yeah. Next.
Tell me I'm right. Yeah. So we went through all these different scenarios. So we're through dinner at this point. We're not watching American Idol. That's on pause so we can deal with this like tear-filled
situation. What she wants you to say is that she's right. That's what she's really angling towards.
That's interesting that you say that because even Dash was like, you need to not get so upset about this stuff. He's like, it's not everything's about you. Not everybody's trying to hurt your feelings or whatever. It's like, and I was like, he's kind of right.
I don't know, man.
It's not like, so I said to her, I go, you know what? She goes, well, why did all my friends get picked and not me? And I go, I can tell you right now what probably happened. She gave the assignment to one girl and a bunch of other of those hens stuck their head in and went,
like, me too.
Wait, I'll do it. I'll help you do it. Let me assign myself a task.
Teacher said, fine, four of you's enough.
Yes, that's it. So, and then I go, well, what did you do? She goes, well, I followed him into the classroom during lunch when they were doing this project. And they didn't want me to help. And I go, they were probably told it was just them and not you. And by the way, it was a scavenger hunt. How many people can be in on the planning of a scavenger hunt? You need to have people who can actually scavenge for the hunt. Am I right?
What does it matter if Delilah wants to help is all I got to say.
Because she's inserting herself. Because, so I mean.
I don't know how you work socially if you don't.
I think she should have this conversation with you.
I'd be like, yeah, of course you invite yourself. You want to stay home all the time? Yeah, you find out where that guest list is and you drive by 50 times until somebody comes out and then you're like, what's going on in there? Are you guys just, is it like super fun in there? Is that a party?
100% her theory. She'd be like, I'm doing catering. I'm doing catering for the party. And they're like, we have a caterer. No, I'm bringing it anyway.
I'm going to just, my problem is I would insert myself and I'd be like, we need to do things different. Let's do it my way.
I guarantee that's happening also. Yeah. So I knew. It didn't seem like her teacher loves her. She's not going to like exclude her, you know? And so,
but those are hard lessons and they suck.
But they're necessary lessons, right? I mean, so why go on the field trip like the next day?
The one you almost pooped your pants?
The one I almost pooped my pants, you guys. Yeah.
That's earlier episode.
Yeah. It's hard to get on.
So Jen was distracted. She was definitely not listening to Delilah because
she wouldn't even sit by me. And I was like, I'll be the lady up front with the barf bags and whatever else needs to go into
Jen
these
needs
bags.
A bag on each end.
Yeah.
She's like, Delilah.
Yeah. And, okay, so I talked to the teacher, not about that per se. She was like, so is Delilah okay? She was really upset the other day. And I was like, yeah, it was a hard day for her. And she was asking, is she upset about this? I go, no, I think she's having a hard time managing friends, like friend groups, like dealing with
fifth grade. I remember it being, it was very volatile.
And she said, she goes, at this age, she goes, it is super hard.
Yeah.
Which that was a nice confirmation to hear from her. And she goes, but I don't see her having those problems. She's like, I see other girls in class like having those issues and she doesn't. I go, oh, I think sometimes she just feels left out. And she goes, oh, about the scavenger hunt thing the other day? Like, she was like, I go, funny, you should say that because I don't think you or anybody else did anything wrong. But she was upset for hours about this thing. And she goes, you know what happened? And she proceeds to tell me exactly what I told Delilah had probably happened.
Which, dude, it just got assigned. Three hens go clock, clock, clock.
One girl used all of her in-class coupons to get this. And then she felt like she couldn't do it on her own. And she said, you can choose three other people or whatever to do it. And those girls were already there going, I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. Like, too late for her to do it. It is exactly.
Well, this seems like the solution. Delilah needs to use her in-class coupons and then purposely choose three girls that she could then make the other girls feel bad.
I guarantee you she's done that. I guarantee
I'm just saying, like, you know.
Done this.
Does she have coupons? Because two can play at this game, is what I'm saying.
Okay, let me tell you what else she did for Valentine's
Day.
That's
how I think. I'm like, someday I'm going to have the coupons and I'm going to have my group.
There is only so much controlling of friends that you can do.
Also, you forget the next day. Like, you come home, you're devastated. The next day, you're like, we're good.
We had a great day. Yeah.
I always feel a little bit better knowing that the cleaning products I'm using in my house are safe. You know, the good news is the new year is here and everyone's talking about healthier routines, but non-toxic living can feel overwhelming. And that's where Branch Basics comes in. Founded by three women on their own personal health journeys, Branch Basics was created out of a desire to heal. Through years of research, trial and error, the founders discovered the powerful impact that removing toxins from their environment had on their health. I love Branch Basics because it's clean, it's good for the environment, it's good for my family's health, and it makes me feel confident that I'm doing the right thing in terms of just keeping everybody on the up and up. It's made from plant and mineral-based ingredients. Branch Basics is human safe and fragrance free, making it perfect for families, especially with babies and kids and our pets. It's built around a single concentrate that lets you refill reusable bottles so you can clean everything, bathrooms, kitchens, laundry, floors, windows, even washing produce and makeup brushes. The Branch Basics refill model makes it even easier to keep your home clean year-round. Once you run out, all you need to restock is the concentrate. Available at Target, Amazon, and branchbasics.com, making it more convenient than ever to have human-safe cleaning products. And here's the good news. Branch Basics is now available everywhere you shop at Target, Target.com, Amazon, and of course, branchbasics.com. Tossing the toxins has never been more convenient. And for anyone grabbing the premium starter kit, you can get 15% off at branchbasics.com with our code MOMSOHARD. Just use code MOMSOHARD for 15% off the premium starter kit at branchbasics.com. After you purchase, when they ask where you heard about them, please make sure to mention our show.
Valentine's Day, she was like, okay, I've got two Galentines. We're getting each other gifts. And so we need to go to Target at 8:30 at night after
these
basketball
girls,
to go.
The biggest complaint I have is this, yeah. You just want to spend
money.
And I
was like, I will run into Target with you. You have literally 5 minutes.
That's what
so
I say all the
time.
So
that first part. Like grabbed it from those like.
Dollar store. Beep, 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 beep.
And I go, after we've already made the purchases and stuff, I go, so Delilah, are they getting you Galentine gifts too? And she goes, I don't know. I go, wait, what do you mean? She goes, well, one said her mom said no. And then, which I was like, why didn't I have those kind of balls?
Yeah.
And then the other one was like, wasn't sure about if their mom was going to do it or not. So I'm like, how did I? And sure enough, Valentine's Day, she's the only one that did it. And I'm like, you cannot strong arm your friends into being your Galentine. Can you? I mean, but then she got her feelings
hurt. I feel I've
hurt.
Strong-armed you in a lot of our time together.
But it works on me.
It works on you.
How are you going to say, like, then she got her feelings hurt because they didn't do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the whole thing. Like, you have to be okay giving a gift without wanting to receive one in return.
That
that's
is
the
hard
true
thing
idea
to learn when
of
you're 10.
Yeah, that's the truth of, like, giving a gift. It's not because you know you're going to get one back. That's the harder lesson is, like, just the full 100% generous act of giving a present without in your head being like, you know, I don't get one back.
Yeah.
Is that how we're doing this? Because that doesn't feel good to me. I need some sort of reciprocity here. I need to know.
That you love me.
That you love me back.
And then I really shat the bed or shat the bus, whatever instance it was. Yeah.
Bang, bang.
Yeah. Which was, they had this like, you know how the school always does those like, adopt a puppy, like a stuffed animal, whatever, fundraiser for stuff like that. It was a busy week. I didn't order one. By the time I go to order one, they're all gone.
Yeah.
And I was even like, I will go buy more if you, like, because I know she's going to take this personally if she doesn't. Because when they do those like candygram things, I'll give her like $20. And I'm like, okay, buy one for everybody in your class. And then she's like, the only one I got was the one I bought for myself.
I like where her head is. You know, you should be loyal to yourself.
Yeah. And by the way,
you know who doesn't exclude you? Yourself.
That's right. Do you know who buys her own Valentine gifts? Your mom buys them for herself.
Yeah.
Because then I get what I want.
Learn how to treat yourself.
Make yourself happy.
Make yourself your best friend. And then you never spend a night alone.
But this was like, I thought this was like the best friendship thing is one of the moms that our kids have gone to school for like so long. I said to her, like after school one day, I was like, yeah, I'm really fucked up. I didn't get one of those bunnies that they're giving out and they're all out of them. And she was like, I know. She said, yeah. Well, all of a sudden when I go up to Delilah's like lunch at the school for Valentine's Day, she's got this bunny. And I was like, where did you get that? She goes, I don't know where it came from.
Aww.
That mom
sent one to her.
They found an extra one and sent it. And I was like, I knew immediately it was that other mom. And
that's
I was,
a good mom friend.
Such a good mom
That's given a gift.
That's
so when Delilah gets her coupons, you got to include that girl. But those other, you shut them out.
Yeah.
You shut the other ones out.
That's right. No,
you
I
make
can't.
Them feel bad. And triangulate.
I don't think they do.
Triangulate. Do one at a time. Make each one of them feel bad at a time.
You teach those motherfucking 10-year-olds a lesson they'll never forget. Make them know who's boss in this situation.
That's Can you tell I come to the table with a lot of trauma?
I mean, you really, I don't, more than anything, I don't want her to set herself up for disappointment.
You can't stop it. She's so enthusiastic right now. It's the energy that they have. It all sort of, it's right now, it's like a popcorn popper. And as they get a little age by grade by grade, it sort of changes and it's like sometimes it's popping really fast and sometimes it's a little bit more chill. Fifth grade, it just feels like it's like constantly popping.
Yeah.
But for Eleanor, she's, you know, seventh grader. And definitely this year has been seventh grade, man, they say it and it is true. It's the hardest year with those things because they too are trying to find their bestie.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to be a different person kind of all the time. They're trying on new things. These girls are trying to figure out what is important to them and what they want from someone else. And how to do that in a friendship.
Yeah.
And it is tricky. And you go in, like Delilah is right now, she's got enthusiasm. So you'll kind of give anybody a shot.
Yeah.
And then when somebody shows you, the thing that we're trying to teach Eleanor is I'm like, hey, you're going in with all this love. If that person is not meeting you with that love back, that person is not a good friend.
Yeah.
For one reason or the other, if they show you their cards, that's who they are. And I know that sounds very... it's what Oprah says. And I know it's meant for like adult life, but I'm saying like for Eleanor, I think she had her heart broken, especially by one friend. And I said, but you did all these things right. And you're trying to make it right, but you can't try so hard anymore. You got to let that birdie fly.
Yeah.
And if she comes back, she has a little bit of work to do with you. She has some apologizing to do with you. And if it happens to work, then great. But right now, she's proving herself not to be a very good friend.
Right.
And those are hard lessons. Sometimes you just want to try until you can force it into shape. And then you realize, I told her, I go, Eleanor, when a friendship is good, it's easy.
Right.
I said, Jen and I have the most stressful job. Like, nobody says, boy, you know what I want to do? I want to do stand-up comedy. That's not hard.
I want to hustle every minute
I want to
every
hustle
day.
Every minute every day. I want to get into something called the internet. Like, I want to do something. Nobody has a podcast.
I want strangers to say shitty things to me.
I want
me.
Strangers to just be able to comment about things I can't help, like my lisp and you know.
It's just my face.
It's just my face. It's not like, you know, I'm annoying. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I said.
All my
and,
flaws revealed
right,
to me.
And I said, and right. yet it's easy with us. Like, we know when each other are, we need a break and we know when. We want to go eat something. We know what the other one orders.
When to push, when not to push.
When to push, when not to push. I said, all of that doesn't just come because Jen and I met and immediately were like, I know everything about you and you know everything about me. We had to grow together and figure it out as we went. And then that's when friendship becomes really good is when you have time. And right now you haven't had any time with people because you're so young and you're going to meet so many friends. And I said, one day you're going to meet that person and you're going to go, I yeah. love the way she makes me feel about myself. And I love the way I feel when I'm around her. It's, what you're not going to feel around somebody is tired, because that means that person is taking too much from you.
Yes.
And when you come home from a play date and you're exhausted, I know that person is not the friend that you need.
And it's not a failure on anybody's part, which it's hard for me to explain to her. Like, you and this person not getting along doesn't mean she's not a great friend for somebody else. She's just not for you.
Don't frame it like that. That is like when you're dating and someone's like, you guys are both great people. Fuck that. He's an asshole.
Oh, okay. See, I'm really messing up in a lot of ways here.
I'm just saying, talk shit about her. Okay, like, don't make it so goddamn democratic.
I've read too many self-help books. I know it's annoying, but
no, you be petty.
Okay. This I think you'll find it interesting to tell Eleanor. I'm going to tell this to Delilah. There's an 11-6-3 rule of friendship. It takes 11 casual meetups or conversation before someone feels like a friend. This is for adults too. This was in an article about how adults can make friends. 3 months of regular contact helps you grow trust and familiarity. And then 6 deep connections. So you're only going to
a deep connection? Like you almost kiss? Because
that feels very limiting. Only 6 friends that you kiss on a regular basis.
Yeah, because I try to, sometimes I'm like listening to somebody talk and they sound smart. I'm like, what do their lips feel
like? You're not having enough cocktails with your friends is what I'm
saying. If you haven't thought about kissing your friend, I don't think you've got a real friend.
It's funny.
Am I doing this wrong?
No, you're probably doing, no. Because I was thinking when I read it, it's funny, when it said deep connections, I was thinking more like deep conversations.
Well, I think deep connections, revelations. I might say, we just went on an unexpected girls trip, Jen and I did. And it's interesting how I would think maybe there would be the perception that I'm like a bull in a china shop. Like I roll in and I just make friends really fast and I'm really outgoing. Yes. I think I am that sometimes, but if I get at all nervous or if it is a group of people that I really don't know very well and I got to start from scratch, I go back to inward, but who doesn't?
It's
always a little weird.
It's always easier to go in with a wingman.
Totally.
Like if you have a close friend who's with you, you might not even talk to that friend an entire evening at a party, but you keep looking back at him, checking in, and they keep checking on you to see if you are lonely or whatever.
Conversation easier. But so Jen and I, we went to this girls weekend, and Jen was there on Friday to Saturday. I showed up literally, it was like we high-fived.
Yeah.
Jen left on Saturday, and I stayed till Sunday. Wonderful group of women.
Awesome.
Literally so fun. There were like 3 that I have crushes on that I'm like, I want this friendship to go further, but I'm so weird about it. And I want it to be like right now. I want to cut through the 11 times of hanging out and I just want to be best friends right now.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, I'd met several of them many times, but like there were a couple times that I had really meaningful conversations and I was like, oh, this feels like I just connected with this person in a way that I haven't had a chance to before.
Yeah.
So can I now? Can I know?
Now you can go in too hard. Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean? I'm allowed to FaceTime?
You say that you're Galentine's. You don't fill everybody in. You just insist. They
give me a present. I buy them a present without thinking they're going to give me one in return, but they won't. So then I won't.
See, that's hard.
But you got to hold out.
And men just don't think this much about friendships.
No, they'll golf all day and not know that one got divorced 24 hours in advance.
They have no fucking idea. And us, we go in so hard with like all of our information and all of our trust and everything.
100%.
That's why like when you get burned in a friendship, it does go like so bad, you know?
Oh, and it goes deep. Like men, when they fall out of manships with each other, it's like, he's an asshole or something, but I don't think
haven't really talked in like 5 years.
Yeah. What happened?
He was the best man. Yeah. Like, how?
Yeah. Like they just kind of simmer away or somewhere there's a decision in their head that they're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But with women, I've only had, I'd really have to think about it. Maybe one or two where either there was a falling out or there was a decision that I made that it just wasn't a healthy friendship.
Right.
And those are really hard.
Super hard.
They feel almost like a real breakup, if not worse, because you've been intimate with that person, not in a sexual way.
She has.
But they've seen
some
your
of
parts.
Them. Yeah.
You've been like, is this a
just
mole?
Like over the shirt kind of stuff.
No, I mean, everybody's over the shirt.
Yeah.
That's just how you say hello. You rub boobs and you're like,
but I also
ears
think
feel
with
great.
Women, what can happen is if you decide to move the relationship to a different place, like it happens when you have kids where you're like, I don't have the time to spend that we used to have. And if you're both not accepting of those shifts, it can go really
And there's
south.
Resentment there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just like,
luckily you were knocked up the same time as me.
Listen, 100%. And I remember specifically in the fifth grade, okay, Mandy's coming into town and I already had dug my claws deep into our friend Lori because she lived about 9 houses away and there weren't that many girls that lived that close.
Somebody's so trying to breach that friendship.
Lori belonged to me. Mm-mm. And somehow in the fifth grade, Lori got put in the other classroom that I was Mm-mm. in, not my classroom. Mm-mm. And then Mandy goes into that classroom and I'm like, who's this bitch?
Right. And then they're having little side chats and they're talking and they're like kind of having like fun, like,
laughing.
Oh, wait, do you remember that time? And you're like,
yeah.
What time are we talking about?
Oh, inside jokes, everything.
Yeah, inside
going
jokes.
Over to play.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah. How dare you? You might as well fucking kiss in front of me.
Oh, my God. I felt so
betrayed.
I fucking
hate people that I betrayal is what you experienced.
Oh, my God. It was awful. And I remember having it out with Lori and I was like, well, I guess you've got a new
best friend.
Said. You got a new best friend. Well, guess what? I think she has unhealthy hair. And I remember the record scratching on that playground and everybody was like, who the fuck says that? Like, what?
You're like, how dare you? Maybe she does have split ends, but it's not your place.
She had a mullet and we all did, okay? Everybody, I just
thought,
how
dare you, Jenny, with your mean words.
I know. You would be like, how do you ever recover from that and still be friends 40
years later? But can you remember how mad you felt? Can you remember it?
I remember I was sick to my stomach. I cried. I was
so. Oh, fuck yeah.
And it was, I guess I'm just now doing the math that it was fifth grade. And it was like, hurt. Like, I loved her more than any boy for years. You know what I mean? They were, she 100%. Was like so much more important to me. So
sometimes I, this is like, doesn't even make sense, but like my friend Lynn, we were real dorks and no one else wanted to be dorks with us. So we did have a lot of access to each other.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like anybody was scrambling to break up the friendship. They were like, you've got each other, you're squared. But I remember like a couple times that she would, I don't even remember like have a, like a sleepover, a play date with somebody. And I was like, my fucking skin would burn. Yeah. I'd be like, you better not be making any bonds or long-term plans.
Yeah, this is the one time thing. I just want you to
she lived close and I would like walk by and I'm like, I'm not okay with this at all. I know you guys are having fun in there. And I,
hey, just stopping by to
if there was a Ring camera, you guys, if there was a Ring camera, there'd be charges against me. I would make sense to myself because I lived in a small fucking town. All you had to do was walk to somebody's house. I would like fucking case the joint. If I either liked you or hated you, I was like, I'm just going to walk in front of their house 50 times.
Yeah.
Thinking about how I was going to make a situation happen.
Yeah. What are you guys doing in there that you don't need a third, that a third like, doesn't work? What are you
walking
doing?
Walking by like.
Connect
one,
four?
Dun, dun,
we can make that happen.
Dun, 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 dun. Look at me. I'm having fun with myself out here by myself. What are you guys doing in there? Probably watching fun TV. It really is. And I think Eleanor, and I'm sure maybe Delilah too, you see friendships that your mom has and they're locked in. And those women have been together for a long time and they've been through this shit. Like, Eleanor sees you and me, obviously, and she sees Lynn and she sees, you know, when I talk about losing Brandy and all of that. And I'm like, Eleanor, those are, I've years and years and years with this person and you're gaining those years with the girls that you're in front of right now. And I know being patient is so hard, but it's not, best friendship is not just a like decision. It's also work. And so you got to just let things happen as they're supposed to. But she's so sweet. She's always like, I just want my Lynn or I want my Jen. I go, you'll get it, girl.
Yeah.
And if not, I will make it happen for you.
And I don't, she knows how to do it too, or else. But I kind of don't feel like, I don't remember, I remember this. Because we had, when we were growing up, 7th, 8th, and 9th was like junior high.
I think that's great, actually.
It kind of is. Then you have like sixth grade
can be babies. Get
together a little
10th
bit.
Grade, you're off to the races.
Yeah. So, but I do remember in seventh grade, finally, like at the very beginning of the year, finally asking Mandy to come over to play.
But was she close? Because this makes a big difference too. And I tell Eleanor this. Was she close to you? Did she live close to you?
Not easy enough to walk. Okay. No, it was
because I do think sometimes those friendships that are simply because they're in your neighborhood.
That's how Lori and I were because she was nearby. Like, I could walk there. I did buy this app
Again.
Because I
$15. I got to send
like,
a note.
This would be really, really fun for me to play with my husband. And then I looked at the questions. I was like, no, I want to play this with Kristen. Mm-hmm. The first one, I don't know. I think we could answer these for each other.
Okay.
But okay. What did you think of me when you first met me?
When I first officially met you?
Yeah.
I thought you were awesome. When I first saw you, you were on stage doing a improv show.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, she's wearing an awful lot of necklaces to do improv.
Yeah.
And you were wearing but then you were really funny and you made a joke. Because normally I don't get competitive with funny women, but what I go is I'm kind of like, oh fuck yeah, she can spar. Like I want to play against her.
Yeah.
Like it feels fun. Like if we were playing pickleball, I'd be like, I want her as my partner. But I saw you and I thought you were really funny. And I remember thinking, she made a joke about some sort of food, and I was like,
hot wings.
Is she my people?
Yeah.
Is there any chance she's my people?
Because that's when I remember meeting Kristen. Because we met basically Jenny and Megan.
Yep.
So we had a similar
friend
in common. And then Megan, her sister, we were outside drinking beers in a parking lot after this show. And Kristen just was like, what? Where are you from? Like, she's talked so fast and so friendly and asked me so many questions.
Cut to the chase. We don't need 11.
And was wearing a really cool jacket. Yeah. And then we figured out that we were neighbors and we were kind of like, why aren't we best friends right now?
It was crazy because it was weird because we drove identical cars.
Yeah.
We lived a block away.
Huge dogs.
We had huge dogs.
Yeah.
We were both improvisers. We were both from Nebraska. Jen knew all the people that I knew.
Everybody.
It was insane
that we hadn't met.
And we figured this all out in a conversation that like started to break glass. Like, and then we were like, do you know that bartender at James? We're like, let's never talk about that one.
Yeah. We kissed the same. Yeah.
And then she came over the next day and we traded leather jackets.
Yeah.
And I do remember it being like, but we were like in our late 20s, maybe.
Yeah.
And it felt like by then, similar to dating, you'd figured out what you liked in people. And I was
totally.
Like, she checked all the boxes. I'm good to go. Let's go.
And it was like, we didn't need a lot of explanation to each other about our lives or where we'd been because we'd grown up so similarly.
Yeah. That was really awesome.
From the same place. So it was just like, hey, I'm coming over. I'm going to bring some chicken.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like,
oh man. And then I was such a shitty version of myself. I was going through a terrible breakup. And Jen was
like, you remember that? And I don't remember that. I remember you being bummed out, but like,
ugh.
I remember you making you do a bunch of woo woo shit.
Yeah. That's the only time that Jen's ever been able to make me do woo woo shit because I was so vulnerable. I was like, okay, fine. Make me fill out this weird, weird questionnaire that's going to bring my dream man.
Yeah.
And I did, and it worked.
She hung it on her fridge
She taught me how to make chicken parm. I was trying to cook. I was trying to like get my head straight.
You were good. You were just
But then we had so much fun together.
Yeah.
We dated Brit
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This one's really fun too.
Seriously, we did. It wasn't a thruple, but it wasn't a thruple.
You know, it was if you haven't heard us say this because it's so accurate, Brit would buy dinner, I would put out.
And I'd go home.
Yeah.
It was great. And this is the God's honest truth. And this is either makes me an asshole or tells you how generous they were. There was not one part of me that would hesitate to call Jen and assume I would be going with them on a Saturday night.
We went so much
that I knew what they ordered. Like,
yeah.
And we would just, I would be like, you guys ready to go? And we'd get on our bikes. And
also, that was our first date place, Brit and my first date place.
Just was there.
Yeah.
I met Colin and I disappeared.
And that happens. This is what I'm trying to teach Delilah is like, I knew. I was like, radio silence. She likes this guy. All she's doing is banging. Not answering her phone and banging this guy. I know, yeah. And that's fine. And
it only felt like 3 days, and then I was like, Jen, I really like him, and I was so fucking it scared wasn't. That Jen wasn't gonna like him.
It was like a month. It was like
it was about a month
or like 6 weeks, and you said, I kind of want you to meet this guy, and I was like, okay, I'm bringing chicken.
Okay, but the last time that I was like, I'm going on a date with this guy, Jen was there, and I don't know why. But I was supposed to go on a date with this guy, and we were at a bar, and I don't know if we just all went to this bar, and that guy showed up.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
You guys were going to casually
meet. We were going to go on a date, and so Jen was at my date, and she looks at me, like, he's right here. So pretend he's sitting on my shoulder, and Jen looks at me, she goes, I don't like him.
Absolutely not.
And literally was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I was like, but he's kind of hot. She's like, absolutely
dirty
not.
Hot.
I don't like him.
But no, not even.
He drove a weird car, so I said no. But it was a hard no. And she was right. I went on a date with him the next night and it was terrible. It just put into light that when Colin came into the picture, how much I really liked him.
Yes. We are going to do an entirely new little section here.
Called
because
dating advice?
Nobody ever asks us for dating advice, okay?
Which is dumb because we've got a lot and I think we give it straight.
And we've dated a lot.
Yeah. Like, and I'm one of the very few that liked dating.
So I'm about to turn 31.
Okay.
And I broke up with my boyfriend 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like dating in my 30s.
Yeah.
And I just want to know, because you guys are big sister vibes, like you're talking about finding the one. Is that all real? Like, well, I know. And like, how do I date in my 30s versus how I dated in my 20s?
Oh, I've got so many things to say.
Me too.
Welcome to the good years.
Yeah. Really? Yes.
Because if you learn from your 20s, your 30s are going to be great. If you keep your habits from your 20s, your 30s are going to be messy. But what you get from your 20s is life experience and a little bit of wisdom. And then on top of it, not to be TMI, but in your 30s, you should know yourself physically.
Oh,
and mentally,
yeah.
Mentally. And you should be able to talk about the things that you want openly without feeling any sort of like, you know.
Yes.
Because
reserve or shame or anything.
Because you're older now and you're a little more sophisticated and you can say like, I don't like that or I like that or this is an expectation. And you've got to have deal breakers in there. You've got to have strong lines of that you're like not into or into, like green light, red light. Like if a guy's cheap, it's a deal breaker. Ugh. For me, it's cheap. Ugh. If you're cheap, I can't deal with you.
Yes.
Like,
no,
not going to do it.
But we were talking about this, how like your dating in your 30s is much more like making friends where you're like, this is easy.
Yep.
I am not going to like have a relationship with someone who's difficult.
No.
That is the first, foremost, easiest part about dating in your 30s is I know what I like to do. I know what I like. I know what doesn't work for me. And you have to have some conversations
and
that are like hard.
And look at the signs.
But you can handle those conversations.
Totally. And look at the signs because I truly believe, just like you said, if it's easy, you'll make it happen. If it's easy... if it's easy, he'll make it happen too, by the way. So if you like him and he's like, hey, let's just go see a movie tonight and you can't move your schedule around to go make that movie happen, you're probably not into him.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's easy because you want it and you like him and he likes you and it should be that. It shouldn't be complicated. I cannot stand when everybody starts to like talk themselves into something because it seems like it's supposed to be right.
Because it looks good on paper.
It's not
or something.
Out. You're not going to like that person. You're not going to feel good. In your 30s, you can cut bait quick. You got no time to stay in it. You've nothing. It's not that you don't have time to waste, but you don't want to waste your time.
You know what's interesting? Now that you mention it, I fought more with my husband when we first started dating more times than we have probably fought in the last 15 or 16
Opposite.
Years. It's you guys weren't talking. You were just banging all the time. Well, we did do a lot of that too. But, well, he needed to get over himself. And I think he would admit that too.
Yeah.
Like, he was older than me.
He's a little Peter Pan a little bit.
He was a little Peter Pan. And he also was like, had like this picture in his head of what he thought the person he fell in love with would be like, I think.
What are you talking about? I think he had it more for himself.
Ooh. What do you mean?
Like, I think that his picture in his mind was like, Well, I only want to get married when everything
That is true.
Everything's in line. But when you're in LA and you're an artist, there's ebbs and flows. And I think you can be in that and it still work. I think you can be someone that like, hey, maybe you haven't worked for a little while and then you work a ton and then you don't work at all. And then you work a ton. That shouldn't make that big of a difference, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think it should. But I think for Britt, he was like, I really need to have all my ducks in a row before this happens. But I'm like, what about when you're in your 20s? Everybody gets married because they're hot and they're fucking impulsive.
Okay. I know what you're saying now, and you were right about that. Yeah. I thought you were going to say what I'm not willing to say about him right now when we were dating, which is that, like, he's from this, like, back east, like, sort of stuffy, like, form of dating, which is why he did buy all the meals and stuff, you know? But also, like,
and mine.
Yeah.
I got out of credit card debt that year.
We love each other, absolutely, but I think he wasn't expecting that I would be that person.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like,
surprised him.
Yeah, this isn't what I thought.
But if it wasn't you, it would be no one. You guys are so perfectly suited.
I think so too. But I did have to be patient. I really do feel like I had to let him, and thank God he was willing to like rapidly go through this, like, I'm willing to let go of what I thought would be and really dive in and love what this is.
Yeah, the here and now.
Because sometimes you will run into people when you're dating in your 30s, and we are both pros in that, they are so stuck in who they are or so used to deciding how their life is and they're comfortable with it that it's hard for them to give some of that up to let somebody else in. So if you kind of have to weigh, like, are they adaptable? Are they going to change to let me fit into their life? And you might have to give them some time to do that because...
Yeah, but not a lot of time.
I mean, a guy gets like 35 and he might think he's going to be single forever.
Yeah, a guy gets 35. You better be lucky that this is even happening, okay? Like, come on.
But I tell you what, he's going to be pretty decent in the some areas, right?
Okay.
No?
Okay. I think that we overcomplicate things in dating, and I think that everybody needs to... remember that who they're dating is a human being and that they're going to come in flawed and you're flawed. And that's kind of okay. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're going to have some things. You should have some things that are like, you don't even have to say them out loud, because what if it's like, you know, I only want to date a guy that's over 5'10". You're allowed to have that in your head. You don't have to stick to it, but you're allowed to have those things as a person, you know. And if you meet a guy that's 5'9", then you make that decision. That's okay. Like, I just think that right now we overcomplicate things because all of our stats are like online and you're swiping and you're voting on someone without really knowing them.
That's so different too.
I fucking want every single person to get rid of their fucking apps.
Yeah.
And I want us to go back into the bars.
Yeah.
I want us to go back making bad decisions. I want us to get a little liquored up. I want us to go in. I want us to do the looks when you see someone and you're like, and you catch their eye and then you like look away and then you double catch.
I want him to get nervous around me.
I want him to get nervous. 30s, baby, you got that. You got that energy. Like, it's not like 20s where you're like, you kind of want to see my boobs. But like your 30s, you're like, okay, maybe I'm considering you.
Yeah.
And it's playful and sexy and like cat and mouse. Fuck yeah, man.
I think it's so much more fun to date.
It's so much more fun. It's just that every woman should be able, if she wants to have a family, if you want to have a family, I think there should be no shame in that. I don't think if you scare away a man because you're in your 30s and you say, yeah, someday I'd like to be a mom and have a family, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be bad words. Those shouldn't be scary words. What the fuck do you think we're going to do, man?
Yeah. No, you know what I really want to do is just meet a guy who be a side piece.
Yeah.
Just have a
lot really
of sex.
I really hope you're in the UFC. And,
yeah.
You know.
That's the other thing I think is... She's like, why did I even ask? Roxanne.
It's like a dissertation.
So much. But I do think it's more important that like your broken pieces match up than your, like, you don't need to like the same music. You don't need to have that many common interests. You need to be like understanding and forgiving of each other is much more important, because my husband literally thinks most things I'm interested in are completely crazy.
Yep.
But he never says that.
I say it.
She says that. But he would do whatever I wanted if it made me happy.
But the core of you is not crazy.
No, it just stuff he's not interested in. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I don't know why we have so many crystals in our house, but we just do, and I don't get a say
in
that.
And he finds it endearing because it's quirky and weird. I will tell you this. These are the two things that if I really had to narrow down what two things sealed the deal for me. Actually, I'll say three. A
lot of money, big dick.
Absolutely no money.
Okay. Okay, but part B.
Part B.
Or rather,
Colin's going to be like,
part D should I say.
Part D. Okay. These are the three things that I never based anything on before ever, but this is how I knew Colin was the one for me. I have a very vivid memory of him. I fucking thought it was so sexy. He would wear like white button-ups with the sleeves rolled up, and like something about that just made me, I just thought it was sexy. He would wear these white button-ups and we would go have a beer together, and I couldn't look away from him. Aww. All I wanted was whatever he was saying, I wanted to yes and it. And the conversation would, I was smiling and it was flowy and it was excitable. And it was so easy. Second thing, we were in bed and I lived next to a fucking car dealership. So the way they would move, they would tell the cars to move is fucking honk. And it would start at 6:30 in the morning. And it was so fucking loud.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh man, those guys are really honking all the time. And I had to go teach early in the morning. So, you know, we'd roll over, frisk around, and then I'd leave. He went and weatherproofed my windows. So they were soundproof.
Yes.
And no one had ever done anything like that for me before.
Yeah.
I remember I was in a relationship and I didn't want to ask the guy to help me move a washer. I like paid people to help me move a washer.
Yeah.
And he was a big muscly guy. And I was like, I could have saved $75. But like the fact that he just went and did this thing was super awesome in my mind. And then the third thing kind of goes to that New Year's Eve we had with you guys where we played running charades.
Yep.
And I just thought he was so good looking, and it was our first New Year's together, and we opted to skip kissing because we were on a winning team,
yep.
And we were competing. So we were like, we'll kiss after this, but let's keep playing running charades. And I was like, all of those parts together, I think make for a good life. I think I'm good to get married to you. I didn't look at anything else. I didn't like deep dive financials. Or look at, I mean, if it worked out that we're both Catholic, but it's Catholic light. But really, at the end of the day, all those three things went into how he is as a dad,
yeah.
As a man. I got notes now, but that's not what we're talking about.
Like, for concrete advice, though, just keep being yourself and putting yourself out there.
Totally.
Then it happens. If you get cynical, or it won't happen.
100%. Keep it fun. Keep it loose. And here's the most important thing. Let's go out and get you. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go wing woman this. Let's go wing woman
yes.
this. I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to end up with five boyfriends and I'm going to feel so good. Yep. No. And I'll be like, I don't like him for her.
She's like, Chad keeps texting me. His car's broken down. And yeah. I shouldn't have given him my number. And
yeah.
Colin, he's moving in the back house.
Actually,
Colin and I are just got
actually,
a new kid.
No. I would just keep a full database and be like, I got someone for you. That's who we are.
Yeah.
Is we're going to have a database.
Ooh, I might have somebody for you. I just thought of it.
Okay, maybe. But we got to figure out what you're attracted to.
I know. Okay.
Okay. Did we podcast?
I think we podcasted.
Pioneer.